Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 4, day 3 of our study of Ephesians and Philippians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you pray with me before we get started today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word, not just more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. All right, I want to pause right there. Paul is tying this phrase. This is such an interesting thing. He's tying this phrase to unity in the bonds of love within the church and to the gift that God gives through the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's tying all of this really to the grace of God, the love of God, and the gifts of God. That we will not be tossed back and forth by winds of false teaching if we love one another. And this is so true. This is so true because the way that false teaching often starts is through divisiveness. Did you know he's teaching this? Can you believe that? These people believe this. I mean, we see this in our world today. This is not just within the church. Divisiveness comes through, you know, saying what these other people believe. It's the devil. It's terrible. It's awful. It's trying to keep you in bondage and chains. And so starting out by putting other people down, that's the divisiveness. And that is where false teaching always starts. False teaching always has to make a distinction. This is one of the things, and this is an aside. This is very much an aside, but this is one of the things that bothers me about marketing within modern Western churches. Modern Western churches always want to market themselves as and this is a tactic borrowed from like modern marketing strategies within the advertising world is you differentiate or die is the name of one of the books that really kind of coins this idea is that we have to differentiate ourselves, our products, our services as a company from other companies and products and things like that. So that we're not just competing on a commodity basis. If you're into marketing, you understand what I'm talking about is that you can't, if you've got a product or service, you want it to be distinguished. You want people to want it regardless of what it costs, even if other people's services and products that are similar cost less, you want people to want yours because it's distinct. There's some differentiation between your product and other people's products, so they'll pay more for yours. You don't want to get caught up in this commodity game where your product or service is no different than anybody else, and so is yours the cheapest. You don't want to do that if you're in, you know, into marketing and into a business. And so the church has borrowed that, this idea of differentiating and making distinctions and say, well, our church is different. You're coming to a church that's different from other churches. And I understand what people are trying to do. They're trying to get people to buy in to the church that they're going to. And you want to belong. You want to love those people. You want to love the place that you're at. Oh, but it's just cringy to me because not at that expense. Not at that expense. As believers, I don't think we should be trying to differentiate ourselves from others. Differentiation is disunity. And yes, there's going to be churches that are the Lord is called to do this and churches that the Lord is called to do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to criticize them if the Lord has given them like one specific thing to do, then they feel like that's what they're supposed to be about. There's churches, it's like our focus that the Lord has burdened us with is missions. That doesn't mean that that church should criticize any other church that doesn't do missions and churches that the Lord has said, I want you to be about prayer. I want you to be about ministry to the poor in your city. That doesn't mean those churches should criticize the church that is really into missions. We should love one another. We should lift each other up and say, listen, we are all part of one body, even though we may be different congregations called to different aspects of the greater thing that the Lord has called all of us to. We should lift each other up in the midst of that and not try and use those distinctives as differentiation to market ourselves. That's one of those things that I don't like. And so that the differentiation, and that is one of the places where false teaching lurks, where we can get swept away, is in this idea of differentiation. Beloved, those of you that are listening to my voice, watching this on YouTube, we have an ancient faith. There is nothing new under the sun. Whatever you feel like is differentiating your church has differentiating churches in the past, and you are no more special than any other church that the Lord has put his Holy Spirit in. We bear his likeness, and nobody can do everything. So maybe your church, maybe your ministry, maybe your group does different things than other churches are doing, but you are still part of one body. The Lord has called us to be in unity with the local congregation that we're with, and as best we can to be in unity with the universal church, all believers everywhere, that we are moving in the same direction in our love for Jesus. That's who we are. And that differentiation, that distinctiveness, that's often the seed, the breeding ground of false teaching. So if we run toward the bonds of love for one another, it really, really makes it hard for false teaching to set in. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And here Paul is giving us this understanding of the distinctiveness of different parts of the body, but we are still part of that one body. And again, like we talked about a couple days ago with this idea of the Shema, that, you know, behold, O Israel, or hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The three in one, Father, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This Trinitarian understanding that we have of God, that he is three parts, but they are in perfect unity. They are one. In the same way, we are called, even though we may be different body parts, we're called to be part of one body. And so, yes, we may be an arm, we may be a this, and there may be those distinctives, but we shouldn't use those distinctives to call people away from something else. We can use those distinctives to say, this is what the Lord has called us to. And we love every other part of the body. We need every other part of the body, but this is the assignment. This is the task that the Lord has given us. We're going to try and be faithful to it. But it's not a marketing tactic. It's part of the assignment that the Lord has given us. One, that we should love all of the other parts of the body, that we should lift them up. And I'm not saying that every church that says, you know, we're unique or different is necessarily intending to do that. It's really some marketing language and things that I believe have been pulled out of context without a whole lot of thought to things like this. And most of the people are well-intentioned. They want the church to grow. They want more people to know Jesus. And so it's not necessarily just a knock against every pastor or every church that said those kinds of things. I don't want you to hear that. But I want you to understand what Paul is saying in the midst of this is that, yes, we all are doing different things, but not only do we tolerate each other, not only do we say, yeah, they're doing that and that's fine, but this is really where the Lord's at. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And that's really a fundamental misunderstanding of who we are and who we are in God and who our church is in God. Is yes, they're doing that over there. We are so happy because the Lord has called us to this and we need that. We need that. But the Lord has called us to this, and we can't do that if we're doing this. I believe that's a more palatable understanding of who different congregations and different churches are under this bond of unity in love. We have to walk that out. And again, that doesn't mean that we have to do every single thing. We have to do, you know, missions and prayer and all these other things. But like you're talking about this massive mega church that then just can become this machine, and those machines, even in that, you start to lose your way and lose who you are. So there's no perfect way to do church except through the bonds of love. Through the bonds of love that bring unity. And again, not love defined as tolerance. Not love, not when we say, well, we love them because we tolerate them. That's not love. That's tolerance. That's, we don't really like them, but we do whatever we can just to pretend like we get along and that pretend like we like them when we're in their presence, that we can talk bad about them or put them down when we're out of their presence. That's not love. That is by no means love. That is tolerance. And we should not define tolerance as love. We shouldn't mix those two things up. Love is love. Love is an emotion. We feel love for people. And it's something that in some cases, yes, they're irritating. We have to foster it. Like I said the other day, we have to ask the Lord to give us his eyes for those people so that we can see them, so that we can love them like he loves them. And that is the place where we insulate ourselves from false teaching. Love insulates us from false teaching and allows us to grow in him in power and in passion. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.